We welcome each one of you, whether you are regular attenders here or guests this morning. We say welcome, and we especially want to welcome those who are here for the baptism, and family and friends of Dykstra's and Harskamp's and Williams, and we're glad you're here as well. We look forward to praising our God in this service. We look forward to that testimony of God's grace and goodness in the event of baptism this morning. As we come into God in worship, hear these words from Psalm 115, verses 12 to 15, where it says, "The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." So many things in life make us feel forgotten, cast aside, alone. But this call to worship says God remembers us. He's always here with us, journeying with us in life. And so we come this morning to praise him, being assured of his presence, being assured that he seeks our good. And so let's worship God this morning. I invite you to stand with me as we now receive this word of greeting. People of God, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, through the inworking power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now greet each other, give each other a warm welcome, say, "I'm glad you're here," and get to know those around you for just a few minutes here.
Well, good morning. We're going to start our worship off this morning with our singing. This is a little song that we have not sung in this congregation, I don't believe, before. Maybe you've heard it on the radio. I think once you get, we've sung the chorus a couple times, I think you'll get that. If you don't get the words, maybe the next time we'll do it. But please sing along with us if you know the words or the tune.
I'm so
So this next song may be a little more familiar to some of you, although I found out there's a lot of people who have not sung this song before. So in honor of the fact that we're celebrating the lives of so many children here this morning, and the fact that we are all coming to God as his children, and it says in Revelations 19 that God has this crown with the jewels that have the names of his children on it. So in that light, we are going to sing this next song. Hopefully you recognize it and can praise the Lord with us on this one too. Morning like this, we just thank God and praise him for the gift of life that we're celebrating, and we just want to bring all glory to him this morning.
Thank you.
God wants us to know of his love and forgiveness and grace this morning as we offer our lives to him and praise him, but we know that we don't always want to do that. We don't always want to live for him. And we know that we're imperfect. It says in Psalm 130, verses 1 to 4, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I invite you at this time to join with me in a prayer of confession, also of assurance of the forgiveness that comes from our God. Let's pray. God in heaven, we indeed come with praise in our hearts as we begun this service. We know how great you are, how worthy of our praise, perfect in power and in love and faithfulness. We thank you for all these things, Lord. Thank you that we can know that you are here with us today and always, and that your love never fails us. You call us to be holy, but we know that we are imperfect. Words come out of our mouths that we later regret, words that hurt, words that show insensitivity to the needs of others, that belittle others. There are thoughts and attitudes that reflect a desire for revenge or complaining or lust or greed or jealousy. There are actions that don't reflect the character of you, our Lord. The character of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Lord, in the quietness of our own hearts, we confess our sins to you. We confess those ways that we are not bringing glory to your name, that we are not honoring your name. So today, once again, set our hope fully on the grace given us in Jesus Christ, to believe that we have a holy standing with you, our God, and to believe and submit to your work in us, O Lord, of leading us into holy lives, doing your will, being Christ-like in everything we are and do. And so, Lord, as we confess, help us to believe we are forgiven through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to let go and live in the freedom and joy that you offer us, the abundant life that you offer to us, that we submit and surrender our lives to you daily. Thank you, O Lord, for your work, for your grace, for who you are. In Christ's name, amen. Well, before we proceed into the sacrament of baptism this morning, just want to take a moment to welcome James and Jana Dykstra. They've been worshiping with us for a little over a year. Jana's membership is transferred to us from First Reformed Church in Sioux Center, Iowa, and James's membership from Redeemer United Reformed Church in Orange City, Iowa. They've lived in Garden City after college and attending Dort College for about 5 years. All right? Oh, good. And now we're living and working here in Des Moines. And so we're glad for your fellowship among us. We hope you felt a warm welcome, and we look forward to continued fellowship and your service among us and our being able to serve you. And on behalf of the Congregation Council, we have a gift for you as well. And they'll be coming up here for baptism, so I won't make them stand right now, but I'll let you leave that there. So, blessings to you, and good to have you here. And I'm sure many of you have gotten to know them already, but take time to welcome them after the service as well, and even and congratulate them about baptism. As we proceed now into the sacrament of baptism, it says in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. And so as we hear that verse and we think about baptism which is a sign and seal of God's promises to his covenant people, we realize that in baptism God promises by grace alone to forgive our sins, to adopt us into the body of Christ, the church, to send the Holy Spirit daily to renew and cleanse us, and to resurrect us to eternal life. Baptism as a symbol of water, an image of how water cleanses and purifies, renews, refreshes, restores. And as we witness that water being poured, and witness the water being placed on the children's head, we recognize Jesus as the living water by whom we are freed from the power and the condemnation of sin and death. And so baptism calls us to new spirit-filled obedience, to love and trust God completely, to forsake the evil of the world, to live a new and holy life. Yet when we fall into sin, we must not despair of God's mercy nor continue in sin, for baptism is a sign and seal of God's eternal covenant of grace with us. It's a testament to every one of us here this morning, even though each of you personally aren't being baptized today. But it speaks to us of that. And from the beginning, God graciously has included our children in his covenant. And saying in Genesis 17, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God to you and to your offspring after you. So all his promises are for our children as well as us. All these promises are for Jadica and Barrett and Timothy as I baptize them this morning. So baptism is a mark of the covenant. As a mark of the covenant, we baptize infants, receiving them into the Christian church, and by it they are distinguished from children of unbelievers. This was done in the Old Testament by circumcision, which is replaced in the New Testament by baptism. And so we are to teach our children that they have been set apart by baptism as God's own children, so that as they grow older, they will personally demonstrate acceptance of his promises with faith and commitment. And so before these parents come forward, I invite us all to stand together, profess a unified Christian faith, and the parents will make their vows in this event of baptism. So stand with me for the Apostles' Creed. Say together then with me, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. So parents, I'm going to invite you forward at this time. James and Jana Dykstra, Chris and Jennifer Williams, and Dustin and Sarah Harshkamp. If you would just kind of line up along here. you're presenting your child for baptism this morning. So I'm going to ask these questions of you, and if you'd respond together with "we do, God helping us." Three questions this morning as you answer this before God and the church here. First, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, accept the promises of God, and affirm the truth of the Christian faith, which is proclaimed in the Bible and confessed in this Church of Christ? Second, do you believe that your child, though sinful by nature, is received by God in Christ as a member of his covenant and therefore ought to be baptized? And third, do you promise, in reliance on the Holy Spirit and with the help of the Christian community, to do all in your power to instruct your child in the Christian faith and to lead your child by your example in the Christian life of discipleship? James and Janet, what is your answer? And Chris and Jennifer.
We do, God helping us.
And Dustin and Sarah.
We do, God helping us.
All right. Now I'm going to invite any of the children who want to just come right up here. Come up quick if you want to see the baptism up close, all right? And right after baptism, I'll invite you back to your seats. But just come up quick to witness the baptism here this morning. Stand behind here. Our Lord said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." So, Barrett Lee Harskamp, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sorry about that. Timothy Isaac Williams, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jadica Lynn Dykstra, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. She might hold this against me. We're related. James is a nephew on Claire's side. So. So as we have witnessed the baptism here this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and head of the church, Jadica and Barrett and Timothy are now received into the visible membership of the Holy Catholic Church, engaged to confess the faith of Christ and to be God's faithful servants until life's end. I'm just going to ask you as parents to, you know, place a hand on your child's head as I offer this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. Amen. I'm going to have the parents share just a word of testimony, a special verse. If you guys would share your verse first. All
right. So,
should be on.
Is it on? Can you hear me? We chose Psalm 139, 13 through 14.
16.
And it's, "For you created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that fully well."
Well, we chose Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Children are the heritage from the Lord, offspring and reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of the warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court.
Did you want to say more?
We chose Psalm 20, verse 4 and 5. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests.
I'm fine if you want to stay up here, but if you feel like being seated, that's fine. So let's pray together and once again ask the Lord's blessing on these families. Gracious God, we thank you that you cleanse and renew these children through your grace alone. Bless and strengthen them daily with the gift of your Holy Spirit. Enfold them, dear Father, with the riches of your love. Deepen their faith, keeping them from the power of evil, enabling them to live a holy and blameless life until your kingdom comes. Look with kindness upon James and Jana, Dustin and Sarah, Chris and Jennifer. Let them ever rejoice in the gift you have given them and grant them the presence of your Holy Spirit that each one may bring up their child to know you, to love you, and to serve you. In your name, O Lord, amen. And so we welcome you as a church and congratulate you this morning, Dustin and Sarah, Chris and Jennifer, and Rod, on behalf of the council and congregation, present a certificate to you. Congratulations, guys. Congratulations. Kids, you may be seated. Thanks for coming up. I'm just going to ask each parent just to, well, she's walking there, so you can join her there. And Chris and Jennifer, you want to take that aisle, and you guys just walk down the center here. Just to emphasize, you know, we know God's grace. Maybe sometimes we focus on God's grace as his forgiveness for our sins and granting us eternal life, but his grace is for every part of our life, every part of our life. We experience in our workplace, in our home life, in church. And God works his grace in many ways. And one of the ways is through us as his people. And so I have them walk here among you. They are a part of us. You are God's grace to them as you interact with them, as you unfold them, as those who have opportunity to teach them and just show your love to them. And that's that grace that's part of the church. And so thinking about that grace and who we are together as a church, will you offer this promise of support? We are just going to make it in a statement form, and I'm asking you a question. Will you read this promise of support with me? Okay, here we go. We, the people of the Lord, promise to receive these children in love, pray for them, help instruct them in the faith, and encourage and sustain them in the fellowship of believers. All right. Thank you, parents. God bless you. Congratulate them after the service as you have a chance or in the weeks to come, and we celebrate with you today. At this time, your offering will be received, and as the offering is taken and received, please take the friendship folder and pass those from the center to the outside, and it's an opportunity for us, if you're a guest here, to be able to welcome you fully, and if you want information from us, you can note that there. I appreciate you if you just record your information in that folder. And while the offering is received, I didn't take note of what the offering is for. What's that? Ascending Leaders. That's right. The discipleship program, produce materials and do conferences and so forth. And Mike Johnson has consulted with us as a church, and so we're happy to provide this opportunity to give towards that ministry. And as the offering is received, listen to this song. It's a song that relates well to baptism. So let's give of our offerings now.
It's only for a moment you were mine to hold. The plans that heaven has for you will all too soon unfold. So many different prayers I'll pray for all that you might do. But most of all, I want to know you're walking in the truth. And if I never told you, I want you to know that as I watch you grow, I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams, and that faith gives you the courage to dare.
This morning, I'd like to focus on Psalm 127, and it's a psalm and a message I bring today that's focusing on family as we're taking part in baptism here. Just felt appropriate just to focus on that this morning, but certainly it's truths that we find there apply to our lives in general as well, and I think it's a pretty simple message that we find here. And so let's turn our hearts to God's Word, Psalm 127. If you have your own Bibles, or you can follow along on the screen as well. Please take a moment in prayer with me as we submit to God's Word. Father Heaven, we thank you for your Word, and that through it, you bring us life. You teach us how to obey and how to live for you. We pray that by your Spirit, you would speak to our hearts as we have need and direct us in your will and may it also give us a greater hunger for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in the court. Dear friends in Christ, when you drive around Des Moines, if you live here, it's very evident that a lot of houses are being built. Different neighborhoods and areas of Des Moines are hustling and bustling with construction work, and many homes are being built. But as you think about the beginning of this psalm, I ask the question, what's really going on in those houses? And what is going on in your house? For I think we realize that there's more to building one's house than just the physical structure. What kind of building is going on in your house to make it a home? To nurture relationships with each other and with God? There are so many stresses on families that can potentially break down families. And we all know that. We experience that from day to day, don't we? Stresses like just the busyness of life. Different trials and hardships come into our lives. Sometimes we get a little indifferent to the relationships in us. Maybe that's because of the stress of busyness, and we just kind of lose our way, lose our direction, and that indifference settles in. Sometimes even behaving in ungodly ways that directly destroy families. Are we building our homes, or are we, in some ways, destroying our homes, causing them to crumble to a certain degree? What's actually happening in our houses? And according to Psalm 127, the important question is, who is the builder of your house, your home? Is it you? Is it someone else? Is it something else? And God's word here says that we labor in vain if the Lord is not the builder. And really it comes down to this, that trusting the Lord with your home is the key to establishing a home, to establishing a godly home. And so think about in verse 1 as it hits us hard with these words, unless the Lord builds the house, its laborers labor in vain. You know, it just begs the question, how much of our laboring is in vain, whether it's generally speaking, whether it's in our workplace or in our homes? And what does that really mean, laboring in vain? Simply meaning that we're laboring without a sense of direction or purpose, certain goal, without meaning. We're just going through the motions, just doing and adding on more and more. And without that kind of purpose about what we are doing, who we are, nothing gets accomplished, is what it's saying here. And sooner or later, we just simply run out of steam. Building a home and being a family doesn't just happen on its own. I think we understand that there's something very unpeaceful and disturbing about laboring in vain. You know, husbands and wives, as families, we don't want our lives being characterized by meaningless labor. None of us want our lives characterized by meaningless labor. But we want our homes to be a place where the Lord is upheld, to know that he's building our house. But that doesn't happen if we are frantically working by ourselves and on our own strength to provide for our families. Yes, we work, and we serve, and we strive. It doesn't happen simply by trying to create the best psychologically sound environment, you know, that psychologically healthy environment. Though there's some good things about that, it doesn't rest on that. It's not in a proclaimed method for successful parenting. Though there might be some helpful things about that. Rather, it is evident as we turn to the Lord, putting our trust in Him and entrusting ourselves and our family to Him. Doing that daily, putting Him first, turning to Him first, giving Him priority in our lives and the lives of our family. You know, there's so many things that are out of our control, aren't they? So many things out of our control. Trials come. Children make their own choices. But the most important thing is to teach and allow them to see that you trust in the Lord no matter what. That you trust in the Lord. In verse 2, it says, "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for He grants sleep to those He loves." Emphasizing further this idea of laboring in vain, and that God has given us the blessing of sleep and rest. But if we work endlessly, we're not benefiting from that gift of God. Working endlessly, you see, is a sign that we aren't trusting God to take care of our needs, aren't trusting God to take care of our families. Perhaps we think, I'm doing this, I'm doing all this work and labor and striving to provide for my family. But it's not about, first of all, about you and me or what we are doing, what we are striving for. It's about God inviting His work and His blessing and taking advantage of His blessings. Overall, we know that God is seeking our rest from our labors in the broadest sense. Through Christ our Lord, He's providing us complete rest. Rest from the labors of trying to earn salvation. The rest of having to just strive on our own and feel like we have to do it all. No, God is there to strengthen us for each day. And He's there to give us a security of eternal life. So ask yourself honestly this morning, what will your children, your child, remember more? How much money you're earning? How hard you're working for it? Or your love and your expressions of an example of faith in God? Parents and all of us need to demonstrate and verbalize this trust in the Lord. Otherwise, our children have difficulty developing that trust as well. You see, the outcome of our lives, the purpose of our lives, the success of our lives is not up to us. It is in God's hands. We are called to trust and follow His ways and His leading. And that's a greater gift to our children than going above and beyond the physical needs that they have. The last half of this psalm, verses 3 through 5, reminds us and emphasizes well that children are gifts from the Lord. So often in society, don't we see that children are seen as liabilities and a nuisance rather than as precious gems that they are? For any parent, it can be very difficult to keep that perspective. When a child is having a temper tantrum, when they're being impatient, or when they're even saying sometimes, "I hate you, Mom, I hate you, Dad." Maybe you've heard those words. All kinds of things that test us as parents. Maybe they're totally annoying their brother or sister, and we're getting quite frustrated as parents on what to do. Maybe they're generally having a kind of rebellious attitude. See them as gifts. As gifts that they are. See them as belonging to God. He gives them to us for a time. They're to be those cherished gifts. Because as you see them as those gifts of God, then You will pay more attention to the joy that they have. You will appreciate more the energy that they have and the curiosity that they have and the playfulness and their simple childlike trust. God has given us these precious gems to train them and to love Him. And in loving or training our children, we are shaping the future, aren't we? We have opportunity to be part of that, of what God is doing through us and through our children's lives. And if we can keep that perspective, even when they are behaving poorly, it keeps us, maybe helps keep our sanity a little bit, and also helps us respond in appropriate ways. So show them the same love that Jesus has shown to us in dying for us on the cross, giving His all for us. Not because of something we had done first, not because we have attained a certain level of perfection. No. God's Word says that He showed us His love even while we were still sinners. So this is one of the ways they come to know God's love, through parents and even through you as a church. To all the children here, they experience God's love. When we think about that word love, so many ways to define it, I guess, but when you think about your love as a parent, what does it come down to? I think it has a lot to do with time. It has a lot to do with time, giving of time to our children. You know, so sometimes it's okay to leave some of those dirty dishes there on the kitchen counter, or leave some of that clutter on the floor, especially if time with your children has been at a minimum. For too many youth have said that they didn't feel loved by their parents, and saying things like, "He was too busy for me. She never really understood me, didn't even try. I wasn't important to him. I got in his way. Our family had everything in the way of material possessions, but nothing in the way of love." I don't think any one of us here today as parents would want our children saying that of us. Give them that time and that love. And in terms of training them in the faith, speak to your children about their baptism as we witness these children being baptized this morning, and your own children perhaps have been baptized. Speak to them about their baptism, because that tells them how much God loves them and the special place that they have in God's eyes. And how for all of us that through His Son and through the sacrifice He made, we have that forgiveness and we have that eternal life as we receive that and believe that. It tells them of the privileged place they are in the church as a community of grace. And so as we see our children as gifts of God, that becomes a rather key thing in the task of purposely raising our children and not doing so in vain. We realize God is interested in our children. God is committed to them. And God is working in them. It's so easy to let the pressures and worry of raising children consume us, isn't it? But know that God is on our side. He's on our side. He's greater than us, and He's greater than our parenting skills. He's on the side of our children. Let the Lord build your house. Lay your burdens of parenting on Him and persistently and passionately pray for your children. I think Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 8, felt I just really need to bring in that text as well this morning. Because it speaks so clearly, I think, in about raising and training our children. It says this: "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads, and write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. There's some key words in those verses. Love the Lord your God. Give him first place in your life and express that love for the Lord among each other as a church in your homes with your children, with your spouse. And it says, teach these commandments that I give you. Let them be on your heart, not just a head thing. Not just about teaching them this, that, this. Let them be on your heart. Let them be an expression of love for God. And it says, impress them on your children. I think that just means, you know, emphasize the truths of God, the ways of God, the love of God. Repeat it in various ways. Hold it before them. And then it gets more specific in talking about, talk about them and tie them on around your finger, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses. I think that's just a challenge to, in every way, in every part of life, trying to hold before them God and his ways and his truths and his love, verbalizing your faith. You know, we say actions speak louder than words. Yes, actions confirm the words you are saying. They prove the genuineness of those words. But it doesn't mean forget about the words. Verbalize that faith. Yes, be an example, but reveal it also in words. Create some habits in your home for talking about your faith and living your faith. Coming to church is one of those habits, a good habit. Having some devotions around the family table, however you want to bring that into your home. Having some visible reminders, perhaps a scripture verse somewhere at a prominent place in your home. Many different things that you can do to live out and keep God's ways and the character of God before your family. Verses 4 and 5 continues to relate the value and blessing of children. And verse 5 is specifically saying that one of the blessings is that your children will be there for you in the time of need. The scene is this. The scene described is that an elderly man goes to the city court, the city square, the gates, and he may face ridicule there for whatever reason. But he faces ridicule, maybe for just being old. But a father who has loved his children will find them coming to his defense at such a time. You see, if children gain no respect for their parents, they will abandon them in their time of need. As many of you know, I work in hospice care as a chaplain. I see many people in their dying days. Some of them die alone. Some because they have no family left. But some because they have burnt the bridges with their family, with their sons or daughters. And then there are those who have family surrounding them. They have gained the love and respect of their children and of their family, and they are there in their time of need. So that's one of the blessings as you look down the road, the growing up of children as they become into their adult years. Blessings of your children. Yes, we are to take our parenting seriously. We are to enjoy it as well. For it's a blessing of God that he's given to us, a responsibility and a blessing. And the best thing that you and I as parents can do for our children and as adults for any of the kids of this church is to entrust them to the Lord and give the Lord first place in our lives and help our children to see and experience that. You know, we can't stop or change things beyond our control. But we can teach our children and encourage each other to continue to trust the God who is in control. Well, let's turn to God and ask for his help in this way. Father in heaven, we thank you that we are your children, and that you do look with favor upon us, want us to be part of your family, to experience all your goodness, all the blessings of being part of your creation and being in the relationships that in which you have put us. We ask, Lord, that you would just guide us and help us to know each day that you are there and to know your faithfulness, and that your faithfulness continues through all generations. That you bring about each new day, bring about each new season. It's all because of you. You've also drawn us into a family of believers in your covenant of grace because of our Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. We thank and praise you once again for that, dear Lord. Again, we ask you to bless these children that we've baptized today. That you would bless all our children, that they would be encouraged in their walk with you, taught your ways, experience your love and grace here among us and in their homes. And Lord, as a church family, we remember all those who are going through difficult times. And there are others, Lord, who we do not know about at this time. Perhaps we know in our own hearts. We pray for each of them. Lord, we remember those who have been cast into sorrow, Norma Heemstra and the loss of her sister Ruth. Give comfort to the entire family and walk with them by your love. There are others who live with grief of losing someone they've loved. And whether it's been a month or whether it's been several years, Lord, you know their need. And I pray that you would comfort them, especially for widows and widowers who find themselves alone. Lord, be near to each one. There are those in our congregation who have lost extended family as well in the recent past. Lord, continue to provide them the grace and understanding they need during this time. Lord, there are those who have been battling cancer, who are continuing with treatment. Continue to lay your healing hand on Eileen. We thank you for the healing that she's experienced. Bless LaVon Hammonds as she starts stem cell treatment. Lord, may that be just a great thing for her life in trying to bring the cancer to remission. Pray for Laura's dad, Jim. Grant him full healing as well, we pray, dear Father, and in the treatment that through the treatment that he receives. Tim's dad, Gary, as he's undergoing treatment as well. Lord, may this bring that healing that he needs, dear Lord. Give strength to each of these from day to day. For Blanca Gifford, she's gone through surgery. Sustain her as well and help her to be free of the cancer. And those who have gone through surgery, Jamie Borsma, Dalt Meyer, Luke Veenstra, pray, Lord, that you would grant them good recovery and may all go well and heal well, that they can have full functioning again. We're thankful for the surgery that Drew had in the past and the therapy he continues, Lord. May he continue to be blessed by all the means there to help him. Lord God, we pray for those who aren't often able to be with us, Don Ryerkirk, Catherine Calamine, as those who are elderly and the latter years of life, Lord, just guide them and strengthen them from day to day. Lord, we pray for Amber Wilson and her mission trip, that all will go well there and they will accomplish great things in the people they are serving. Lord, we want to also give you thanks for the marriage of Stephanie to Ryan. We rejoice with Todd and Lorna and the marriage of their daughter Stephanie, and just bless them. We're thankful for Nancy's job you've provided for her. We've been praying for her, Lord. We thank you for this answer to prayer. As a church, Lord, we pray that as we continue to serve you, provide all that we need, that you would raise up leaders and volunteers to carry on the work here. And as we anticipate a new church season, dear Lord, will you bless with the volunteers and build up our gifts, Lord, and build up our hearts for service to continue on as a church, fulfilling your mission for us. Lord, there are great things going on here. You continue to work. So, Lord, we pray for your strength and your guidance through this time. And we especially ask, too, Lord, that you would guide us to a new pastor, a lead pastor here, to shepherd us as a congregation, to pastor us, to bring care, bring your word to us. Bless the search team as they are working on this and helping to narrow down people who will effectively but could potentially serve us. Lord, we again ask for your Holy Spirit to lead and direct through all of that. So, Lord, be near to us in the coming week. Help us to faithfully serve you, to turn to you always, to worship you in word and deed each day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. This time, I invite any announcements for us as a congregation. If you have one, come on up. It's okay, Steve. We won't bite. I saw Roberta give you that encouragement of pushing you out of your chair.
I am so shy. I wanted to remind us all of an opportunity to serve our Lord on August 22nd. That's a Saturday. And coming up is the Central Iowa Shelter dinner. And this year, or this month again, we're going to be cooking a dinner that's familiar to all of us, and that is we're asking for food donations. Sign-up sheets are back on the bulletin boards, actually, for both help to serve and for food donations. I'm going to give you a little tip real quick. The meat that we can prepare this time is pork, and Hy-Vee on Douglas has 99 cent a pound pork roast. So if you've been a little leery of spending $5 a pound on beef, we have dollar a pound pork roast out there. And I know Judy, I can tell, is going to buy a couple. So it's an opportunity Saturday, the August 22nd, to serve your fellow man. If you want to help with food donations, that's great. If you want to help with serving or both, that's great as well. And if you're there at 5:45 in the afternoon, we start serving at about 6:15. So thank you in advance for your generous donations of time and food. Pardon me? I thought I'd... And my wife is reminding me that the list is up on the bulletin board. And everybody can... Anything else? Are you sure? Praise be to God.
Anybody else? I have just one announcement as well. I've been thinking about this for some time, and I think I've mentioned it to a few people, but I'm putting it to action today and probably in a couple weeks as well. But if there are people here who have been worshiping here for some time and you want to know more about Crossroads Fellowship Church, whether, you know, it's the first time you're here, third time, or you've been worshiping for 6 months or a year, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be available in the fireside room right out here, right after church, worship here, after I'm done shaking hands, but I'll make my way over there. Very informal. If you just have any question at all about this church, membership in this church, whatever, there'll be a couple of us there to just speak with you. And this time I invite you to stand for our parting word of blessing and closing song. It's been so good to be in God's presence here, know that He's here with us, knowing He loves us deeply. Now He sends us with His blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
And just as a little intro to this song as well, our family just recently returned from a family reunion, and so being up here this morning really meant a lot to me too, just the idea of the family. So please join us in worshiping God with this song too.